Since September 11th, the public has been expressing more confidence in government. There also have been a lot more demands placed on government and its workers, and there could be a big problem meeting those demands in the future. More than half of the 1.8 million people currently employed by the federal government are eligible to retire over the next 3 years. While not every eligible worker is likely to leave, government planners are worried. NPR's Pam Fessler reports.
Hundreds of people come each day to the Social Security field office in Wheaton, Maryland. They want help getting Social Security numbers or cards or, more importantly, benefits. Some line up in a roped-off area, others sit on blue plastic seats waiting to be called.
79. 80.
Ann McDuffie, who runs the office, says she's let potential employees sit in this waiting room for an hour before bringing them in for an interview.
Because we wanted them to make sure this is the job, this is the kind of job they really want to, an environment they wanted to work in. And you know, by the time we got to the interview, I talked with them. They said, yes, this got me really going. You know, I want to provide that service. I want to help people.
McDuffie says so far she's had luck filling the jobs in her office. That's good because pretty soon more Americans than ever will be retiring and looking to Social Security. And at that same time, says Paul Barnes, the agency's deputy commissioner for human resources, many of the agency's employees will be looking to retire themselves.
Right now, something like 62% of our staff is over age 45. So we have a lot of people on board that we hired in the late 60s, early 70s. We did almost no recruitment in the 80s because we lost 20% of our staff.
And that left the agency with a potential gap. It's a problem throughout the federal government. Many who took jobs there decades ago, some inspired by President Kennedy and his calls to public service, have stayed throughout their careers. They saw it as a secure way to make a living. But the 80s and 90s brought downsizing in government, and now there aren't enough younger workers to replace those about to leave. Kay James, the new head of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, says one problem is that job seekers today don't necessarily want what they think the government has to offer.
They say things like, I want to make a difference. I just don't want to sit in a cubicle and process papers. I want to know that my contribution is important. I want to do creative, cutting-edge things. And unfortunately, the image that they have of the federal government is that they will sit in a cubicle, that they will do nothing more than shuffle papers, that they won't be cutting-edge, and that they won't have the opportunity to develop skills.
James says that just isn't so. There are many exciting, creative jobs in the government, and she just has to get the message out. But that means overcoming a serious image problem, one perpetuated by the campaign rhetoric of many politicians, including her boss. Here he is last year looking for votes.
We don't trust planners and thinkers and bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. We trust the people of Indiana.
James says one of her jobs will be to encourage politicians to tone it down. Since September 11th, President Bush, in fact, has spoken very kindly about government employees. He praised them last month for remarkable professionalism. He also proposed legislation to raise the top pay for senior government executives, to give managers more flexibility in hiring, and to allow bigger recruitment and retention bonuses for crucial jobs. The administration believes that these steps, along with rewards for good work and buyouts for positions no longer needed, will raise morale and attract new blood. But the changes don't suit everyone.
The solution is certainly not in the legislation that we've seen introduced by the Bush administration.
That's Jackie Simon, Director of Public Policy for the American Federation of Government Employees. She says the Bush plan misses the point, that the crisis was largely due to low pay and the privatization of government services.
If you ask federal employees and potential federal employees what keeps them from accepting employment in the federal government, what makes them want to leave, there's two answers. I don't like the constant threat of losing my job to a contractor. I never know if my job's going to be here today or tomorrow. And I could make more if I go even to work for the contractor.
Simon says the answer is to close the gap between government and non-government salaries. The union also believes a government agency should have the chance to show it can provide services at a lower cost before they're contracted out. Still others feel more is needed to attract the best and the brightest to federal careers.
Good evening.
At American University in Washington, D.C., graduate students file into their evening classes. These young men and women are getting master's degrees in public administration. Many say they're willing to give up high pay for public service, but experience says only one in four will become a federal employee. Students here think they can be more effective in smaller organizations, such as nonprofits or state and local government. And besides, as student Dion Williams, getting a federal job can sometimes be a hassle.
It's a long process. It takes months, sometimes 6 to 8 months, to get even a call back for a job interview. And sometimes the position closes. I know I applied for a job at the NIH, and by the time they called me, I'd already have two jobs.
That complaint is heard here again and again. The federal government just doesn't do a very good job recruiting new workers. Kay James of OPM says that's another thing she's trying to change. And indeed, since September 11th, there have been more applications for government work, although mostly at agencies such as the FBI and the CIA. Even with the increased interest, there are still more federal job openings today than there have been for years.
While people are appreciating government workers more, they haven't decided that they want to be them yet.
Max Steyer is president and CEO of Partnership for Public Service, a new nonprofit group formed to help revitalize the public service. A poll conducted for the organization found that only a small percentage of people were more inclined after September 11th to seek federal employment, even though they did feel better about the government. Steyer's group and some members of Congress say the administration's plan is too modest. They'd like tax-free student loan repayments for the best job applicants. They'd like greater rewards for exceptional work and a chief human capital officer in each agency. Steyer says the government in general needs to do much more to let people know what jobs are available and why they're important, something the Defense Department has done for years.
When you have someone who's inspecting our food supply, our water supply, our parks, or whatever else it may be, they're performing an absolutely important, critical function for our country, and yet we have not invested in trying to make sure that the right people are being attracted into those jobs in the same way that we have for the military.
He says if any good can come of September 11th, it might be that some people are beginning to see the value of such work. The challenge for the government is to draw on that new interest at a time when the federal workforce needs reinforcements. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.